Tonight on the Preposterous Gamer, Kevin encounters grinding. Armed with nothing but a menu, it is his turn to ponder the weird evolution of Japanese-style RPGs. Are high-budget old-school JRPGs a lost relic of the past, or can they come back like the elusive coelacanth? Find out as Kevin explains his new obsession with Bravely Default and why he thinks 2014 is the year of turn-based high-budget RPGs. All that and maybe something else, tonight on The Preposterous Gamer. Hey, this is Preposterous Gamer Episode 7. I recorded this a little bit after I actually recorded the episode. I just want to say I had to do a fair amount of pausing during this, a fair amount of noise, tweaking in post-production. Sorry, I've got dogs around me. They're going bark a little bit. They're going chew on things that are very loud. Dan starts a load of laundry at one point, so a little bit of noise and background from it, but it's pretty quiet. Washing machine is just around corner from where I record this. But anyways, forgive me if it sounds like I get slightly scatterbrained from time to time, because I do hit pause quite a bit, especially because of my dogs, but what you going to do? Anyways, now, Preposterous Gamer Episode 7, as I originally recorded it, with post-production work in it. Hey, so I promised a new Preposterous Gamer during the intermission of last week's, or I guess that'd be 2 days ago, during the Infinite Labs podcast, episode number 72. And quite frankly, I have been playing a lot of Bravely Default, and this game is freaking amazing. So a little background for myself is, growing up, I was completely taken as soon as I learned what JRPGs were. I mean, my first one was Phantasy Star 2. I was a little late into it because, you know, back in the day, they didn't get much attention, and unless you had a friend who was into them, you weren't even going to know they existed. So, you know, it's something that took a long time for me to find, and it wasn't until I saw one of my friends playing Phantasy Star 2 that I was like, whoa, what is this? This is awesome. I wasn't even playing D&D yet at the time. I want to say this was around 1990, maybe 89. I forget exactly when it was, but after I saw that, and then I went to Nintendo Power Fest 1990, mentioned that on the podcast last week and a few times in the past. I got to try out Final Fantasy 1 as one of the games on the show floor, and I was captured. My soul forevermore was owned by JRPGs. I've been into them. I've gone through Final Fantasy games, through Phantasy Star, through Dragon Quest, through Suikoden's Wild Arms. I have seen so many of these old school style ones, you know, the ones that had a lot of the things that nowadays are considered horrible, bad things. I actually loved them and missed them. I'm talking about grinding. I'm talking about random battles. I'm talking about, you know, all of these elements like turn-based combat, menus, not action-based combat, just, you know, old school RPGs type of thing that almost captures that feel of playing D&D with some friends. D&D, you don't have real time battles. You have, you know, you take your turns. You have initiative rolls. You have, you know, stats in front of you. And, you know, you have the equivalent of menus, another thing that's frowned upon. I mean, this has changed a lot in recent times with evolutions in games of things like, you know, Final Fantasy has moved away where I just saw some video of Final Fantasy 13 Part 3 Lightning Returns. There's pretty much no menus. It's all action-based combat. You know, it's not Final Fantasy, or at least it's not my Final Fantasy. I pretty much started to lose a little love for Final Fantasy once 8 came along. That one really stung deep. And when 10 came along, I checked out from the franchise. And I mean, on top of that, you have also Final Fantasy games are going MMO. I mean, Dragon Quest X, Dragon Quest, the longest holdout of old school RPG systems, it became an MMO, or I think so, with number 10. 9 became some multiplayer thing that I barely could play, but 10 just went away from it. So playing Bravely Default, it's a great reminder of what RPGs used to be and how they could still survive. I mean, games do need to evolve. Original games, like, go back in time, the big budget games were all arcade games. You know, Pac-Man, Pong, Space Invaders, Galaga. And then those evolved with time, and eventually we had platformers. Then we started getting platformers with screen scrolling with Super Mario Brothers, and just kept growing from there. So I'm not arguing against evolution in games. I'm just wondering, do we really need to give up on all old genres or evolve them to a point they're not recognizable anymore? We still have platformers, and we still have 2D side-scrolling platformers, or side and vertical scrolling, but we still have those. I mean, Super Mario is still pretty darn good, most of them. I'm not a fan of new Super Mario Brothers games. I mean, the new Super Mario Brothers franchise within the Mario Brothers franchise. But you still have those old school sensibilities about it in all of them. You know, they did not evolve to a point of eradicating the previous species. RPGs, though, unless you look at small budget things, all you find are either something that's unrecognizable versus the original, you know, Final Fantasy 1 through 6 era, or you find ports or remakes of the old ones, which aren't really high-budget RPGs in my mind. Those are remakes and ports. I mean, very little creative effort goes into a port versus a brand new experience, which that's what Bravely Default gave me. So I want to run down some of the things about old school Japanese RPGs or Japanese style ones, because, I mean, there are some good Western developed ones. And looking at the near future, South Park and the Stick of Truth looks like a great JRPG style game, and it's definitely very not Japanese made. So when I say JRPG, I mean Japanese style, you know, Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, Suikoden, Wild Arms, name whatever one you like. There's a lot of good ones. So looking at all of this, and forgiving clicking in background, I'm home with my dogs, and my dogs are chewing on things. So anyways, looking at, I want to look at some of the elements that really, I guess, angered the majority of gamers, and quite frankly, started to be either messed with or eliminated, despite the fact that they could have been improved instead of removed. And these elements mainly come down to random battles, grinding, and side quests and mini-games. So started off with random battles. You know, with time, they start to replace these with set battles. For example, Chrono Trigger, it's not random battles. You know where the fights are, they're set. That's one of the first ones I could think of that got rid of the random battles. And then, you know, you start to get things like there was Xenosaga. I hate to mention that game, but Xenosaga. Set battles. You had Penny Arcade Adventures. Set battles, and even worse, the enemies don't even respawn. And, you know, for me, I love battling in an RPG when you have a good set of skills. You know, especially if you have, like, a job system where you could tweak and, oh no, alter your character to your flavor. You know, a good job system example, if you haven't seen Bravely Default, would be like Final Fantasy V, or even Final Fantasy III to an extent. And when you could alter your classes, alter your ability sets, it's fun to have these extra battles, you know, have the option to have repeatable battles or random battles, because if you decide to change your job, it's fun to see what this new job can do. I mean, even games like Costume Quest, they allow you to change your class by what costume you wear. Great game, by the way, even though it doesn't really have random battles, or I don't even think it has respawning battles. But by going through and changing your costume, it's hard to determine if it's the right one for you, because if you don't have random battles or repeatable battles, how are you going to try out all of the abilities of a costume and decide if it's right for you? If you get a new ability in, you know, something where you don't change jobs, is it worth trying out that new ability? You never know if it's worth trying out, and you may end up never even using it, or you may have an item used in combat that you won't ever use because you can never repeat battles, so you never have the chance to try out these things. Plus, also, it just, I don't know, takes away the feeling of you're in a big world filled, typically you're a big fantasy world filled with danger everywhere. Well, is there really danger everywhere if you could slay every single monster in the entire world? In fact, you're going to slay every monster in the entire world. So, what I like is Bravely Default does a brilliant job with this. There are random battles, and you are going to need them because you're going to need level up, and I'll get to that with grinding. But the big thing is there's these random battles that Bravely Default tries to tweak this. If you're going through an old dungeon because you realized you missed a treasure, or you had to go through a cave that leads to another area, a tunnel in effect, it is annoying in old school games to keep getting these low level battles repeatedly from the cave you already cleaned out, but you need to go back through it. So Bravely Default actually adds something really cool to this. They changed the menu. In the options menu, you could actually set under difficulty if you're going to get normal random battles, more random battles, less random battles. You could crank it up to, you know, double the regular battle amount, or you could even drop it down to no random battles. Did you clear out a dungeon, but you got to the boss and realized, oh, I'm too low on hit points, I should go back and heal? Well, you go back to town, you heal. Do you want to fight all those enemies again on your way to the boss? If you don't want to, turn off random encounters. That way you'll go through full health, perfectly safe. You know, it's nothing too major, and it's not game-breaking. In fact, it does a great job of being non-game-breaking, because if you turn off every random battle in Bravely Default, you're never going to level up, and as soon as you face the next boss, that boss is going to kick the shit out of you. So, I mean, it's a great little tweak on that. It keeps random battles, but it keeps them on your terms, entirely on your terms. And that kind of comes in the subject of grinding. In a lot of old school RPGs, in fact, especially in some of my favorites, there was a lot of grinding involved, and even I got tired of some of the grinding. For example, Xenogears, my favorite game of all time, you need to grind so you can learn your different combos. In that game, combos, whenever you attack in battle, you could choose a strong attack, a medium attack, or a weak attack. And comboing those, so you have so many action points around, and you end up at the end with 7 action points. Spoilers for an old game. So you end up with 7 action points. A weak attack costs 1, medium costs 2, strong attack costs 3, and you could chain them. So if you take a turn to do, let's say, weak, weak, strong, once you've done that enough, you'll have a special combo attack that'll do, you know, extra damage. And the problem is, you unlock those by how many times you use each individual weak, medium, and strong attack throughout the game. So, like, a combo may require that you have used weak attack 250 times and strong attack 100 times throughout the game. And that requires a lot of grinding. And, quite frankly, grinding, it does get annoying. So, you know, you also have other games with predetermined experience amounts. And these are games that I was talking about before that replace random battles with set battles, and they're battles that don't even respawn. So, like Penny Arcade Adventures, Costume Quest, those are some good examples, which means every boss is pretty much predetermined what the difficulty is going to be. You are meant to be, if you cleared out every possible battle, you're meant to be level X when you get to this boss fight. There, if the boss feels too difficult, maybe they program the difficulty bad, or you're just not quite getting the idea, you can't go and, you know, grind out some more battles. You are that level, period. No way around it. And, you know, quite frankly, this leads to, like I was saying before, a lack of variety in how you could develop your character due to an inability to grind. So, you know, a lot of games ended up just removing grinding. And by removing it, you have a set character made in a set way that's going to function in a set method. There's no variation. And quite frankly, that makes combat boring. So, I mean, a good look at, you know, one that doesn't do boring is saying like Final Fantasy V with its job system. You have, and this also applies Bravely Default, you could select what job each character in your party is. And you have, let's say, on Bravely Default right now, I have a white mage who also trained as a black mage and a time mage. So she's my primary healer, but at the same time, you don't need heal every round, so I have time magic hooked up with her. And that means when she's not healing, she could use, like, time magic includes haste, slow, includes gravity or earth-based attacks, and also includes regeneration. So, you know, I'll set her up to cause everyone to regenerate until I need her to actually do her healing magic. And that makes it where I have variety. And without grinding, I wouldn't have been able to train her as a white mage and a time mage. She'd be just a white mage because you, quite frankly, need a healer in RPGs. You always need that, you know, one character to save your ass when everyone's getting beaten up. Or I have my main character, Tiz. He's a thief, but he's also a ranger. So by being a thief, he picked up the ability to steal from enemies, to mug them, so do a regular attack, but also hopefully steal an item. But as a ranger, he's super good with bows, and I have a bow that I really find powerful, so I like having him as this master archer who can shoot through enemy defenses and can specifically hunt certain types of enemies, so beasts or bugs or aerial creatures, but he's still, you know, a thief at heart. And it's fun to have this variety, and you don't get that if grinding's removed. But also the other part of grinding that is always annoying, especially with Squaresoft games, and especially later ones like Final Fantasy VII onward was horrible with this, are the attacks that take forever. Now, I don't mean take forever like you have to charge them up. I mean the ones that take forever because the animation is slow. I mean, if any of you have played a Final Fantasy game with summoning in it, from Final Fantasy VII onward, you know how slow those summons are. I mean, even when they added, Final Fantasy VIII had it where you could, I think it is VIII, you could shorten the animation time for a summon. Even shortened, some of those took forever. I mean, just think back to, like, the worst example probably is Final Fantasy VIII, the ultimate summon, I think, is called Arc, and that thing takes 2.5 minutes. So every time you want to summon Arc, you're out of the game for 2.5 minutes while this huge animation goes on. And what's great is an example of how to improve that is Bravely Default added a fast-forward button. If you don't like the animation of battle, even for a regular attack, you can hit right on D-pad during battle, and hitting right on D-pad, you speed it up double speed. If you find that too slow, let's say you're grinding a lot, just trying to get levels or money or whatever, go ahead and hit right again. It's now 4x speed, and that's as high as it goes, but let's just say 4x speed, those battles go through instantly. It's super fast, and still slow enough where you could see what's going on. So if you're getting injured, you could see and know what happened. So, you know, it didn't get rid of grinding. It made it good. It made it quick. It made it fun. And Bravely Default added into that more with it has auto battle command. And a lot of games have tried to use auto battle. And typically it falls down to one of two different methods for it. One of them is you have bad AI come in, and you might be able to tweak the AI in a menu, but typically you're going to have, if you're doing auto battles, going through a dungeon where you know there's a boss at the end, so you want to conserve some magic points, all of a sudden you find all of your mages are throwing spells left and right, which means you get to the end of the battle or end of the dungeon, and you have no magic points left for fighting the boss. Or there's games like Suikoden, which, one of my favorite series, at least up until about number 3. After that, kind of went in the toilet. Especially number 4 sucked ass. But with auto battle and that, everyone just attacked. That's all it was. Just attack. Which means if you, you know, let's say you didn't want your mage to attack. You want your mage to defend. Tough shit. Your mage is attacking and is left vulnerable. And Bravely Default did something really cool with this, which is go ahead and set up your actions for a round. And once you set those actions and attack and go through that round, auto battle will forever repeat for every character that last round that you manually inputted. So it also has a feature of brave or default. Default, you defend and also save up a brave point, which is essentially your action points. And brave, you burn through your action points, even to the limit of going into debt where you won't be able to act for a few turns. Well, if you're grinding, set up your strong fighting guys to brave as far as they can into debt, 4 rounds into debt, and attack the hell out of the enemies. And if you're doing it right, you'll kill all of the enemies. You had it set to fast forward, so it went through really fast. And then after that, as you're grinding, just turn on auto battle. And as you walk around, you hit an enemy encounter, and you'll just lay them out in one round, a real quick round. You get a bunch of experience and a bunch of job points and money, job points to level up your jobs, and you just keep going. And then combine that with how you could change the encounter rate and grinding, turn up the encounters all the way. Grinding is so limited. You know, it's not limited in terms of how much you have to grind, but the time you waste grinding is nothing. You just get your levels, get your experience, your job points, your money, and just keep going. It's bam, battle done, bam, battle done. Just real quick, it's machine guns of battles, which, you know, it doesn't eliminate grinding, but makes it really fun. It makes it beneficial instead of being a chore. I mean, between setting your encounter rate and the speed and that auto battle, you get rid of all of those problems of the past. I remember Final Fantasy 4, or 2 in the US, if you want to call it that. At one point, you're stuck with, you're approaching the Dark Elf's cave. So this is around the city of Troia, I think it is. And this cave requires that you have no metal equipped. And your characters love metal. I mean, one of your characters is Cecil, the paladin. And so he's having use like a bow and use wooden armor, and he's going to be really beaten up in this cave because he can't wear metal armor and metal weapons. So you had to do a fair amount of grinding before going in. And I still remember hating that point in the game, despite loving the rest of the game, because you keep walking around a forest waiting for a battle to come up. Finally, the battle comes. You have to set in all of your commands, kill the enemy while watching the animations play out nice and slow. And then you see your experience screen. Hopefully you gained a level. And you repeat walking in that forest, trying, waiting for an enemy encounter. Bravely Default, turn the encounters up. You get that encounter right away. Turn up the speed of the animations. You blast through that battle. Set up all the commands you want to defaultly kill every enemy. And then, you know, turn on auto battle. Done. You grind the hell out of everything. So, I mean, all of that really makes Bravely Default. It makes me think of RPGs don't have to be in a state where they evolved away from what they once were. They could actually grow with those limitations, not throw out those supposed limitations of grinding and encounters and animation speed. Instead, put in the player's hands and trust the player. That's one thing that Squaresoft or Square Enix really did with Bravely Default, is they trusted the players, which is so weird from a company that seems to not trust its consumers anymore, but they trusted the players to know what's right for them and to, you know, actually eliminate the animations or to speed through them that Square Enix is so damn proud of. I mean, they actually gave trust that we don't want to see their animations every time. And then the one other thing that I'm really reminded of is side quests and mini games. So side quests and mini games have been in JRPGs for a long time. I think Final Fantasy VII really brought it to the forefront. There's the tower defense game where you're defending outpost in the mountains. I forget what it was, like Condor Mountain or something like that. And they gave you this forced, for the first time, tower defense game where you're setting up catapults and soldiers and buying them as enemies come up the mountain. And it was out of place. It was awkward. It was not fun. And after you go through it once, they let you repeat this weird, awkward, out of place tower defense game. And the reward for doing it again? Not worth it. I want to say you get like some potions or a high level potion or something like that. You don't get something truly worth the effort and worth, you know, wasting your time. Or it had the snowboarding game at the Golden Palace, Golden Plaza, Golden Saucer. It had the snowboarding mini game. No reward to it. Like, maybe it threw some money at you or something. I don't know. But it wasn't worth it. It's out of place. And do you want a snowboarding game in your JRPG? I mean, in all honesty, I know I sure as hell don't. If I want snowboarding, I could pick up a snowboarding game. And then, you know, there's also stuff that's just not worth it in the end. Final Fantasy X was just filled with this type of crap. Do you want the ultimate weapon? I think the biggest example of how bad it could be is where you had to jump and dodge lightning 255 times to get one character's ultimate weapon. And timing the jump of lightning is slow as shit. It's awkward. It's weird. And if you get through, let's say you're able to dodge the lightning and you're up to 253 times and then you fuck up. Now you have to redo it from beginning. It's not worth it. I mean, you get the ultimate weapon, but you could beat the game without that weapon. And in the end, I don't care if you got through it or not. I actually got through it using a Game Shark. And with the Game Shark, the only code I could find was when you get hit, it doesn't take away from your chain of how many you've gone through. And it still took too damn long. I mean, even without fear of failure, by the time I was done with it, I did not care. That weapon was not worth that much of my time. Yes, I was stronger with one character afterwards, but I wasted like an hour and a half on that. And if I had to do that perfectly, I mean, fuck, I don't even know how long I would have wasted on that whole endeavor. It just was not worth it at all. And what I like is Bravely Default, once again, shows a great example of how you can do these, you know, side quests and mini games. In fact, the game includes one major mini game. You have this, what I called on the Infinite Lives podcast number 72, Tiny Town. The town's name is Norende. And when the game begins, Tiz, the first protagonist, I mean, it's hard to say who's the main character because you have a party of four and all four of them are pretty vital to the plot. But Tiz is from town of Norende, which begins with, so to give a little background, Bravely Default is so much Final Fantasy it hurts. And like the old Final Fantasy games, especially like number 5, all of the crystals have been corrupted. And there's the crystal of earth, wind, water, and fire. And water means the oceans are stagnant and you can't sail a ship on them. Wind means the wind has stopped blowing. And that's causing problems for towns that run off of windmills or whatever. Fire means, fuck if I know, I guess fires burn funny. They don't really ever go into that in Final Fantasy games or Bravely Default, what a bad fire crystal means. And then earth causes it where the earth rots away. And as far as I could tell in the plot, that's what causes it where Narende, the town of Tiz, falls into a giant pit. The earth rots away under it. The town is wiped out. Tiz is the sole survivor. And you get a mini game where Tiz decides he wants to rebuild the town. And the game uses street passes, but also it uses internet connection in case you can't do actual street passing to pull in, essentially different players, you know, friends from your friends list or spot passes from walking or street passes from walking past people have the game to become citizens in your town. And as citizens, what they do is they work together to build, build up shops and to reclaim the land. And as you do this, and it's entirely optional, but it's kind of addictive, you set somebody to work on, let's say, repair the weapon shop. And then it'll say it takes, let's say, an hour to restore the weapon shop. So you set that person up, but if you have two people, set two of them, it takes 30 minutes. Set another person, it'll knock the time more, and pretty much it's diminishing returns. The more people you add, it eventually goes down to like 5 minutes knocked off of something that had a 99-hour timer for the high level. You know, after you rebuild a shop, it'll be level 1, and every shop can be restored to level 11. I guess they crank it all the way up to 11. So anyways, it's, you know, a neat little side thing. And as you play a game, there's the adventurer. The adventurer serves as your save point in dungeons, and he'll also sell you items and weapons that are found in the shops from Narende. And then you could buy, let's say, before a boss in a dungeon, because there'll always be the adventurer save your game before you face a boss, you could pick up some potions because you restored the item shop enough in Narende to have potions available. It's entirely optional, it's not needed, and it doesn't take much effort. As long as the game's in sleep mode or actively playing, the timer counts down on those buildings you're repairing. You don't have to do it. You only have put a minute of effort into it every, you know, however long it takes for a shop to be restored. So it's low effort, low thought, low intensity, and the reward actually feels worth it because you'll get items, you'll get weapons that you could purchase, and periodically the people of Narende will give you stuff for free when you visit the town in the little menu, the Narende menu. And, you know, it's not needed, but it's kind of fun. It's fun if you like, oh no, mobile games. And if you don't like it, who cares? Don't do it. It's not needed. No one will miss it. And then also there's subquests. A lot of different games will have subquests that essentially don't give you too much for it, and they feel, if anything, sort of tacked on. I mean, maybe you'll get like some little story that's unrelated to the game entirely. You'll get a reward of maybe a weapon or a potion or an elixir or whatever. In Bravely Default, subquests give you, on one hand, story that is not related or it's not tied into the main plot, but it runs tangent to main plot. A minor spoiler, and this is in the first chapter of the game, so it's nice and early. This isn't a huge spoiler. There's a desert town where the wind crystal is stored nearby. And this mayor, or the king of this desert, I guess kingdom instead of town, but a kingdom of one town, he's trying to drive his people into slave labor. And there's also a water merchant in town who is charging a lot of money for people of the desert to get water. That's all there is, unless you do a sub submission, a subquest. If you do subquest, you learn that this water merchant actually is hiring thieves to guard the oasis in the desert to make it where people have a choice of either they pay a lot for his water or this thief will end up robbing them of their stuff and will split the booty with the water merchant. And if you go further into the subquest, you beat the thief, and then you find out that the water merchant, you get proof that he's evil by beating the thief, at which point you'll beat up the water merchant, and you'll find some weird little clue about late at night you need to go to a certain door in one of the factories in town. And later on, you go this factory door at night, and you learn that the king was actually manipulating that whole water price-fixing thing in order to further, demoralize his people to get them desperate enough to do his slave labor. So in the end, you get this nice story that's background to the city without being vital to the game, so you could skip the subquest if you want. But then to make it even better, on top of having some more plot revealed, which is fun to see the subplot and to see why things happen and where they're coming from, you also get new jobs by beating the subquest. So when you beat the thief, you unlock the thief ability, the thief job. When you beat the merchant, the water merchant, you get the merchant job. When you beat the king, ends up the king is a time mage, and that's where you get the time mage job. So you get rewards that are actually worth it. You get a story that's actually worth finding out about. You learn a lot, and you gain a lot. And if you want to skip it, I'm guessing in theory you could, although why would you skip plot and also skip, jobs? And then on top of that, the game doesn't hide the subquest. I mean, some games will have it where it's like, okay, you need to at this point in the story, but not after this point in the story that comes right after the point it opens. You have to go this one cave that's way out of your way to find a character who will only show up one time in the entire game to start a subquest. In this, it'll put these blue exclamation points on your map. There'll be yellow exclamation points to mark where to go for the main quest, but there'll be blue ones that'll show up on your map to tell you where to go to start a subquest. So they're optional, but they're not missable. Well, they might be missable, like if you ignore them too long, maybe they go away. I have no idea because I've gone for every one of them, but you aren't going to miss them due to the game being enigmatic about it. You'll only miss them if you actually purposefully miss them. I mean, the game, it's not holding your hand as much as it's making sure you can enjoy all there is to it while still knowing this is a blue exclamation point. It's optional. You don't have to do it. So, I mean, that's taking, Bravely Default is showing that, you could take these old school RPGs, old school ideas that people have hated with time, and actually turn it into this great new system. It's new in its oldness because, like I said before, Square Enix trusts the gamer to have fun with it. Hell, they threw in a difficulty slider where not just can you change your encounter rate, if you want, here's some more things you could do. Do you want to make the game harder? Turn on hard mode at any time. Do you want easier? Turn on easy mode. Do you want it normal? Normal mode. Do you want to make it super hard? Or are you one of those low-level run type of players? Some people love to see what's the lowest level you could beat a RPG at. You could turn off experience points. You could turn off job points. You could turn off money. So when you beat a battle, if you want, you could get money and job points, no experience, or however you want to sort that out. I'm not a fan of that type of run, but they are giving you all of the options that you need. They're giving you ability to customize your characters in so many ways. For each job, it has a default special, like, passive ability. So, for example, passive ability of a black mage is anyone else in the party who has black magic as an ability that's active you'll have stronger spells. It's sort of like you work together with your magic. And you have your normal, you know, active ability, which would be black magic. But then you could select one other active ability or battle command from another class. So do you want to select thievery from the thief class, which gives you mugging, gives you some high agility attacks, gives you, you know, normal stealing. Do you want to equip white magic, you know, have a black and white mage, which is actually not a bad idea in this game? Or, I don't know, do you want a monk who has knight's abilities to, you know, help defend others? And then you get, as you go through a game, more and more, I think they call it skill points for applying these passive skills. So as you level up a class, you'll unlock new passive skills. Like one of the default class is the freelancer, pretty much jack of all trades, master of none. And what the freelancer can do is they have a passive ability that is called dowsing rod, and it'll tell you how many treasures are on the current floor of a dungeon that you're on. They have another one called Dungeon Master. All traps in a dungeon will not affect you, and you could select to equip one of those if you want. Black Mage has fire abatement, so fire magic and attacks do less damage to you. Do you know you're in a volcano about to fight fire enemies? Equip fire abatement. Every class has these different passives, and as you go through each chapter, you'll slowly unlock more and more SP, so you could equip more and more of these passives or higher costing ones, because some of them are, well, there might be like hit point plus 10% for the monk. Later on, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm willing to get to maybe hit point plus 20%, and that might cost 2 SP instead of 1. So, you know, you really customize your character. You give them a lot of flavor, a lot of, you know, abilities, and you could change them on the fly. You could change your job on the fly when you're not in battle, that is, without any penalty. Final Fantasy III, the original NES version, it had job points, and when you used a job point, what it did is to change your job, you actually had to spend job points. So early on in game, you can't change your job repeatedly. And you also get penalized right after you change a job. So if you picked a job and realized, crap, I don't want to be a monster tamer or one of these weird classes, well, tough shit. You're stuck with it for a while. And you're weakened while you are it, and you're weakened once you change out of it. This game, change them when you want. Have fun with it. You know, try things out. The only real penalty is when you first start a job, you're low level in that job, and you're a little weaker because of that. Because as you gain experience and level up as a character, you get more powerful. But as you level up with your job, you also get more powerful. So a high-level character who goes from a high-level thief to a, let's say his friend who's same character level becomes a thief but is level 1 thief, well, that new thief is going to be a lot weaker than the old-school veteran thief. So, you know, there's a lot of, customization without too much of a real penalty, which makes for a fun experience. And on top of that, compare Final Fantasy V, for example, or Final Fantasy III, or almost any other game with job systems, this one will actually allow you to equip whatever weapons or armors you want. If you are a black mage, if you want to equip a sword in Final Fantasy V, you couldn't. It was unequippable. In this game, if you're a black mage and you want to equip a sword, go ahead, you can. You're just not as good at it. So, you know, depending on your class and your skills, you could pick the skill to make you a sword master that I think you get from being a knight. And in which case your sword usage is as good as it could be, no matter what class you are. But on the other hand, if you have, let's say, a real powerful bow and, no one is a skillful user of a bow, that bow may be less powerful compared to weaker weapons that they're more attuned to, or they could actually be, more more powerful in the end despite the penalties. So the game really, it rewards you to have fun with it, to actually play with it, to enjoy the whole system. So I guess in short what I'm saying is if you like old school RPGs, pick up Bravely Default. I mean, this game is amazing. And, you know, I thought Zelda A Link Between Worlds was probably as good as it'd get for me for the 3DS. And quite frankly, this is the pinnacle of 3DS in my opinion. And so to kind of end this, I'm really feeling like 2014 is the year of turn-based RPGs. There's Bravely Default, which, true, it came out in Japan last year, this version of it, and there's a previous version of it that either came out early last year or maybe late the year before. But for US, Bravely Default, turn-based RPG at its best. And then looking at the upcoming South Park, The Stick of Truth, that is a turn-based RPG that also has high production values, high quality, but it's still an old-school turn-based experience. And quite frankly, that's, I love the nostalgic factor of them, but more than just living off nostalgia, I love what type of game it is. It's something where it's simple enough where I could play it and feel relaxed. Because, you know, it's fun to play action games, but sometimes I need something a little slower paced where I could actually take my time and enjoy the setting. I play RPGs a lot for the plot. I love story. And quite frankly, typically you're going to get some of the best detailed stories in RPGs. So this is just perfect. 2014, the year of the turn-based, high-quality, original RPG. So anyways, I think I'll end this here. Hopefully I didn't ramble too much and get off track. I had to pause this a few times while recording because, well, I've got dogs around me and I'm sorry about any barking that snuck through. But anyways, thanks for listening, Preposterous Gamer. And if you love RPGs, pick up Bravely Default. Well worth it. And that would be the Preposterous Gamer Episode 7. Bye.